You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
The ninth commandment is where we're at tonight. Look at chapter 20, verse number 16. It says, let's all read it together in unison, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, ready, begin. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. All right, so hopefully you've been paying attention throughout these and see what is happening here with these, and we've talked about them for several weeks now. We're going to pray and we're going to talk about this thing of bearing false witness. Father, thank you so much that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray tonight that as we jump into this story, that this message, that you would help us to have clear minds, ready minds to comprehend what you have for us. Help us to think clearly about the Bible tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak with us about what you'd have for us to do with the message this evening. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, I wanted to clarify that. He's the one that said that, not the Father. They are both God, but I wanted to clarify that was Jesus' statement there, okay? Bear false witness. What does that mean? It means to bear witness means to testify. To bear false witness means to testify with deception. It's lying. We understand that it means to lie. There was a survey taken of about 3 million job applicants. 3 million job applicants. Nearly 50% of American resumes contain one or more falsehoods. I'd love to ask this question tonight, but I don't want to embarrass you, but I wonder how many of you tonight have ever maybe fibbed a little bit on a resume. I won't ask you tonight. Probably, you know, I would assume nobody, right? Because we're all Christians, and you probably never even thought to do that. So what am I talking about? But you know, those heathens outside the walls of our church, they are the ones that have been lying on their resumes. There was a famous weatherman, Dr. Dan, in the late 70s, I think it was. And he had studied geology and all these different things at school, and he wanted to be a weatherman real bad. So he got placed an application in for this local weather station, and they picked him up. But the only problem was he said he had a PhD, and he never finished his diploma. He started getting hired by Major League Baseball, by other news outlets and organizations, until somebody anonymously called in to the New York Times and said, hey, this guy doesn't have his PhD. So he got fired from many of them, but actually a couple people still kept him on as a weatherman there. But it was a big scandal. There was a coach, a football coach in the early 2000s for Notre Dame. And I forget his name off the top of my head, but he had claimed on his resume that he was a starter in football in high school, and they had won the state championship. And then he claimed that he went to New Hampshire and played 3 years and was lettered and all this kind of stuff in New Hampshire. And so he got the job at Notre Dame. The problem was his high school career was accurate. His college career wasn't. He never played. He never played college. He got hurt 1 year, got this and that. And so he got fired from the job right after he got the job. This thing of lying, of telling fibs, lies, untruths. You know, last week we said that stealing is prevalent in our world, and Christians are in on the take too. Do we think that it's any different with lying? Lying has become commonplace. When you see a politician, they open their mouth, you just kind of assume a lie's coming out. I don't know how you feel about it. That's how I feel about it. When I see any politician go, I'm like, okay, here comes the lie number one. I don't even trust them when they state their name for the record. I just don't trust them. Why? It's hard to trust people that lie. You watch them equivocate. You watch them say, let me ask you a direct question. They ask a direct question. They answer a different question. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's commonplace. It's almost expected. Schools in our area, in America, are lying to children, telling them that gender is fluid and they can be whatever they want. Lies. News outlets are constantly lying based upon their political bent. And if we go and watch CNN and just think, this is absolute truth, We've got blinders on, all right? College professors are lying. Then they say there's no absolute truth. There's so many lies everywhere. Those are bigger ones, but there's small lies as well. Look at verse 16 again. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. All right, the sin, the context is a court of law. That's the context. Do not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Where? In a court. So it's suggesting that there's a trial happening here. And don't bear false witness. Now, here's what you need to understand about the ancient world. It was not, you are innocent until proven guilty. It was, you are guilty until proven innocent. That's how it used to be. And a lot of times there was no trial. It was the emperor. It was the Caesar saying, you look guilty, kill him. Wait, what? That's how it was a lot of times. But not in Israel. Because why? Because God is smarter. And God instituted some laws and some things. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, we know there was no forensic evidence. They couldn't, you know, get the tape out, you know, and we got a nice fingerprint right here. Okay, we're going to test it. They couldn't do any of that. They couldn't run the blood samples, none of that. So what did they rely upon? They relied heavily upon eyewitnesses, eyewitness testimony. So your word as a witness could cost somebody their life. Now, of course, that happens today as well, but much more so back then. Your word could be dangerous and fatal to other people. So it's very important that there was honesty. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 19. I want you to see some of these things that God put in place to protect those that were going to law, because God set up some guidelines and some safeguards. Look at chapter 19 of Deuteronomy. I know we're going to kind of jump back and forth here, but that's just the way I have written in my notes. Look at verse 15, Deuteronomy 19, 15. It says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. And any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So what's that saying there? It would take more than one witness to convict you. Now, here's what we do in our day. So-and-so said that about me. How dare they? I hate them. Wait a minute. You just heard one person's. Why have we gotten away from this so much? That we just take somebody's word for everything. In the Bible, it was two witnesses, two or three witnesses. And so you couldn't be put to death. I mean, that'd be a glad thing, right? If you came to me and said, hey, you know, I'm the magistrate, and you come to me and say, hey, so-and-so did this, and it's worthy of death. And I was like, okay, I'll take your word for it. I mean, the other person would be like, wait a second, where's my chance to defend myself? So it was a thing that God put in there to protect people. Say, you can't, you know, it takes more than one witness. Now, Jesus had a couple false witnesses come against him. Remember that? It wasn't one. It was two or more. In Israel, another thing was a defendant would appear before a jury of elders. It wasn't just one person magistrating over it all. Look here at chapter 19. Verse 18. Skip down to verse 18. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. In other words, those that are ruling and judging the case are doing some detective work. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. So if an investigation was made and you made an accusation against somebody, and then the judges say, all right, let's go search this thing out. Let's put our FBI hats on. And they go find out, wait a second, you were lying. You would get the punishment that you were trying to get for the other person. Do you think that would dissuade some people from filing a bunch of lawsuits? I think it would. You're trying to sue this person because you say they hit you with their car or they never did. Well, guess what? You're paying millions. Maybe we wouldn't have so many lawsuits about things. Go back, if you would, to chapter 17, Deuteronomy 17. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. Deuteronomy 17, verse 7. This is interesting. Deuteronomy 17, 7. Look at verse 6. I'm sorry, we'll go 6 and 7. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Look at verse 7. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. If you accuse someone of something, of worthy of death, you had to pick up the first stone and throw it. Why? It's one thing to make an accusation. It's another thing to go through with it. Remember when Jesus and the woman that was found caught in the act of adultery? Which, by the way, where's the man in that case? Like, where was he? Why didn't they bring him? But they brought this woman to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, "He that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." See, it's one thing to make the accusation, but it's a way of saying, if you're lying, you're guilty of murder. So they would have to be the ones to cast that first stone. These are all preventatives God was doing to say, hey, this thing of what you say is so important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we see in the Ten Commandments here, he said, well, this doesn't say don't lie. Well, think about this. The Ten Commandments are talking about the worst form of sin. The worst forms of sin. For instance, murder. Murder is an extreme form of anger. Adultery is an extreme form of lust or sexual sin. Falsely testifying about and condemning, right, their sin. An innocent person is the most extreme form of lying. So, of course, in the category here, God doesn't just want you not to murder. He wants you not to be angry with people. God doesn't just want you to not commit adultery. He wants you to not be involved in sexual sin. He doesn't want you just to not put people on death row with your testimony. He wants you not to lie as well. And there's plenty of other scripture passages that back this thought up. That's what it's saying here. Write this in. This commandment is not just about the courtroom. It is condemning lying everywhere. Everywhere. If lying is forbidden, then that means truth and honesty are required. That's what it's saying there. So truth and honesty, those are things that God highly values. Highly values. You ever go to the store and come out with more items than you paid for? Because you're a thief? No, maybe by accident. You know, the other day at Walmart, I saw that they had, this is embarrassing. I saw they had nerd ropes. How many of you know what nerd ropes are? You know what nerd ropes are? Okay, they're candy, all right? And I've got a little bit of a sweet tooth, and it's not for chocolate. It's for, like, Skittles and things like that. And I have to be very careful about those things. But I went to Walmart a couple weeks ago, and I saw that there was all these stacks of nerd ropes, and I love nerd ropes. And they were like 50 cents each. I don't know if they did. I looked to check the expiration date, but I guess they didn't want them anymore. So I was like, well, if you don't want them, we don't want them to go to waste. So I better take 10. And so I took them up to, and I did give some away to my kids. All right, I did. I gave like a one little nerd to my kids. And I gave some of those away. But I took them up to the register, and I was with one of my kids, and I was just scanning and putting them in the bag. And a guy came to me and said, excuse me, sir, I think you didn't scan all those, because the screen was like lighting up. And I was like, no, I scanned them all. And I was like trying to be honest, look at it, trying to find out, like the three I didn't scan. In my zeal to get to the parking lot to eat them, I was like, I didn't eat them in the parking lot. But nowadays they have all these things up there. I remember a couple years ago, my wife, I went shopping, and I don't do that often, but I had to grab a couple things from Walmart, and if that offends you, then just pretend it's Target, okay? And I went to the store, and you know the self-checkout and all that. Well, I got up, and I had several things in my cart, and I had a comb, just a regular $1.50 comb in the cart. And I noticed that when I got out into the parking lot, I had my buggy, which is the southern word for your shopping cart, so I had to translate that. As soon as I said it in my mind, I was like, no one's going to know what a buggy is. And so I got I was taking all the bags out, and I noticed in the bottom that comb was there. Ever get like moments where you're like, Lord, is this a test? And I was like, I feel like Walmart has robbed me of a lot of money, you know, at times, or, you know, just different things. Like when you buy something, you're like, where is it in the bag? And so I got home, and I was like, man, is my integrity worth $1.50? Is that what it's worth? And so my wife was going to be going the next week, and I said, would you do me a favor? yes. I said, would you take this comb into the store with you and scan it and pay for it? And she did. Now, I stole several other things worth much more than that. But for that one, I was like, I'm going to go back and pay for that. I don't want to be lying in my behavior. Of course, like I didn't steal the other things, but I thought, you know what? My integrity needs to be worth more than $1.50 comb. And I think God is looking for people and his people to act with integrity and honesty. That's what he's looking for. Would you write this in? Every lie comes from the devil. You realize that? So that means every truth comes from God. Every lie. Is God the author of lies? No. So where do lies come from? Come from the devil. But the Bible tells us that God, the Father, is a God of truth. Jesus hates lying because he's the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit references him as the Spirit of truth. Romans 3:4, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. What is this saying? You can write this in. It just means that you can take God at his word. When God says something, you know he's not lying. That's why Bible promises, scripture promises are so important. Why? Because you know that what God says is what God will do. And if God promises you something, you can just rest on the fact that he has never lied and never will lie to you. So that's a great thing to know. But you see, we can take God at his word, but can I ask you tonight, can other people take you at your word? I'll be there at 7. Will you? I told Brother Oscar tonight, he was going to meet with me before church. And I said, yeah, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. And guess what? I wasn't. I tried, but I felt bad. We got tied up with some things. But I want to be a man of my word. You know, and can other people take you at your word? I will get that done. Will you get it done? I will give this. Will you give it? I will be there. I'll do that. I'll do it. Will you? Can people take you at your word? Let's look at some types of lies tonight. Number one is gossip is a form of lying. Why? And what is gossip? Conversations about other people involving facts that are not confirmed to be true. They usually start like this. You know what I heard? Where'd you hear it? Maybe you shouldn't have listened to it. Or maybe you should have stopped it right there and not spread that because you don't know that to be true. And remember, every story has two sides. There's probably actually one person's side, the other person's side, and the truth. There's probably three things in every story. Number two, they write it in. Slander is a form of lying. Slander. Slander is speaking of other people in a way that damages their reputation. You're trying to hurt. You're trying to say something bad. And there's a myriad of different reasons of the motivations behind that. It's usually selfishness, self-centeredness, insecurity, something like that. I want to be better than them, pride, things like that. But slander. You're speaking something, well, I'm just telling the truth. But are you really? Or are you actually saying something with your own bent to it? Have you ever actually talked to that person? Have you actually gotten the truth? Maybe not. Number three is broken promises. That's a form of lying. Failure to keep your word. I promise you this. I do. I, whatever. Those promises, broken promises, whether you meant to break them or not. There's the bold-faced lie. That's just telling an outright lie. You're just telling an outright lie, and people know that it's not true. You're just lying. I remember years ago, we had a teenager come to the teen department, and a young girl that had been in our youth group for so long, and it was just such a bizarre situation. She came with a brace on her hand, and I remember talking to her, oh, what happened? Are you okay? And, you know, just thought maybe she sprained it or something, slapping her brother or something. I didn't know, and she goes, oh, yeah, and my wife was there, and she's like, oh, yeah, I heard it this week. I was like, oh, no, what happened? What were you doing? Oh, I fell after I got mugged. Say again now? Yeah, I was actually outside. She went to Jordan High School. I was actually over there, and like I was about to cross the street, and somebody came up and pushed me down. It's just like the story kept adding more stuff. And my wife and I were just kind of like, it was an obvious lie. And I thought, why? Like, is she hiding something? But she just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. And I think sometimes people just get into the habit of it, that when the truth is even easier to say, they just go to lying still because it's compulsive. There's little white lies. That's what we call them in our society. It's a lie about a small or unimportant matter because you're trying not to offend somebody. You're trying not to hurt someone. The little white lies are still lies. Overstating or understating. You're embellishing something. You're exaggerating the story. I went fishing and I caught a fish this big, or whatever, like the classic story, whatever it may be. Yeah, I could do a 360 dunk when I was in high school, but you forgot to tell him it was on a 5-foot rim, you know? What I'm saying, like, there's the embellishment or there's the understating where you don't tell the full story. You just tell enough that doesn't make you look bad or doesn't, you've diluted the truth. Then number 7 is half-truths. Half-truths. You leave out some important information. I'm going to give you a couple applications tonight from this passage of Scripture. I can tell y'all don't like this because we're all guilty of this Ten Commandment here, all right? But application number 1, you need to realize, we need to realize that our words show who we're imitating. Let me help you with this. John chapter 8, verse 44 says that the devil is the father of what? Lies. Okay, the father of lies. So when we are lying and we're telling untruths, whatever you want to call it, we are imitating the liar, the deceiver. But we know that God is the God of truth. And when we stick with the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it may cost us, we're showing that we're like God. We're showing that we are imitating the Creator God who never lies. Think about that when you're tempted to say something that is not true. Number 2, I want to say this. We need to get in the habit of telling the truth. Get in the habit of telling the truth. Matthew 5:37, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. The rest of that, comes of evil. The Bible tells us in Matthew that lying comes out of an evil heart. And, it's the default setting for some people. It has become so ingrained in them. We call them habitual liars or compulsive liars. Where, like I mentioned a minute ago, even if the truth were easier to say, even if it made more sense to just tell the truth and you wouldn't even get in trouble for it, those people still like to come up with some imaginative story about what happened. I've known many people like this, and people that have been close to me that growing up that were habitual liars. You know it's not true, but they still state those things anyway. What's your first response? And I think teenagers need to really consider this. When your parents ask you a question, what's your first response? Is it a lie to protect yourself? Well, then I would say, what are you doing that you feel you need to lie to cover it? Okay, that's my thought. What's your first response? The boss comes around the corner. You got to tap the screen because you've been playing some game or whatever. Hey, boss, how you doing? Well, now they know you're guilty, looking at your face. But what is the response there? Is there the temptation to just lie right away? Or is the temptation, hey, you got me. Man, I was slacking off. I got to get back to work. Well, what do you do? Can I say this right this second? Truth now is always better than truth later. Let me explain what I mean. Truth now is always better than truth later. Tell the truth now, because if you don't and the truth comes out later, it's always worse for you. So deal with truth now. I mean, would you want to say, well, I'll believe the truth later. I'll believe the Bible later. Why? Because between now and then, you're going to be miserable. Why do people put the truth off? No, truth now. Tell the truth now, and later will be better for you. But people, what they do is, no, they don't tell the truth now, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait until they get caught. And then when they get caught, the punishment is far worse. Because they should have been living in truth then, but now the truth has caught up to them later. So truth now, truth today, truth in this moment, truth. Number 3, behave honorably. Say, well, how does this apply to lying? Why do most people lie? Think about that for a minute. Why do most people lie? There are several reasons why people lie, but one of the biggest reasons we think of is because they don't want to get into trouble. They lie because they don't want to get into trouble. That's what they do. I remember as a kid, man, one of the biggest lies I ever told. Some of you sat up a little bit straighter when I said this. You're like, ooh, tell us, Pastor. Tell us all your secrets. This was my motivation for lying because I didn't like my brother. Can I get an amen? Okay. He was 5 years older than me. I was probably 6 or 7 at the time. I was jumping on some steps. I was practicing my vertical leaping ability at like 7. And I was jumping on some steps with my friend, and I fell and skinned my knee pretty bad. I mean, it was bleeding. There was like cement steps. There weren't round. It was like jagged, unsafe. Like nowadays, I could have sued the church for $1 billion kind of thing. And they had no handrails, just steps going up, no handrails. Like weird, crazy stuff. Anyway, I was laying there, and I was like, oh. And my brother came by, I went, and just kept walking. What a jerk thing to do, you know? Such an older brother thing. Who's got an older brother like that? Can I just see? You know what I'm talking about. The rest of you didn't raise your hand. You're that person. You would have been the one laughing. So shame on you, all right? But I laid there for a minute, and my friend was like that little devil that appears on the shoulder, and he's like, you should tell your mom that your brother pushed you. And I was like, no, actually, because I can still hear his voice. Can I just say this? It was so easy because my brother was always in trouble. So I went to my mom. Mom, I fell down. My brother pushed me. She's like, what? Can we confirm this in the mouth of 2 and 3 witnesses? Here's my friend. Of course, she didn't say that. And he's like, yep, I saw it. He pushed him. This is so terrible. I still remember my brother coming in like, what? And I was like, yes. And my mom was like, how could you do this to him? You hurt him. Look at his knee. That's terrible. I would tell you that I really believe the Lord used that to get me saved, though, because I felt so convicted about it later on. I remember going out to my mom like months and months later, Mom, I lied about Zeb. She's like, I know. I was like, but you still punished him. That's why she was a great mom, is a great mom. Anyway, she's like, he did more stuff to deserve it, I'm sure. That was not behaving honorably. My motivation for lying was, I want to harm him. I don't like how he treated me. People lie because they don't want to get into trouble. So the thought with behaving honorably is, don't do anything that makes you want to lie to get out of trouble. Do the right thing. Live honorably. Number 4, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And some of you need to hear this because you're very blunt with people. And some people are just mean. I'm not saying people in here, but some people hide their meanness behind statements like, well, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling it like it is. I'm just being honest. But yeah, but nobody asked your opinion on the matter. You know what I think you ought to do? Did I ask you? No, well, I'm going to tell you what you ought to do because you got this problem and you need to do this and you're lazy and you... I'm just being honest. The pastor said, be honest. Yeah, but speak the truth in love. If you were not invited into that, why are you spouting all that forth? Do so in love. That doesn't mean you speak whenever you want, whatever you want. It means when you're communicating and you do have to reprove or you have to talk to somebody, you do have to tell the truth. You do it with love. Number next, confess your lies and accept the responsibility. You told a lie, own up. Own up right away. It's always better. Always better. Own up right away and say, okay, I did this. It was wrong. I am sorry, and I accept the responsibility and the consequences. Don't you think the Lord would respect that a lot more coming from you than him having to chasten you and correct you, and then finally at the last moment, King David a year later, oh, I'm the man. Oh, okay. It would have been so much better for David if 365 days before that, he would have said, I am so wrong. God, I lied to this man. I lied to the kingdom. I'm a liar. It would have been so much better for him. Accept it. If you confess your sin, God's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you. Lastly, This may seem unrelated, but it is related. Get your love and approval from the Lord. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. David talks about walking in truth because of God loving him. What am I talking about? Why do people lie? Some people lie to look cool. They want to be, or they lie to feel important. They lie to fit in or to be accepted I'll tell this lie because I want these people to like me. I'll exaggerate the stories and make myself look good because I want people to think I'm cool. And people do this because they're seeking their approval and their love from other people. You're going to tell me that all the dating profiles online are honest and accurate? You're going to tell me that? Some of our people in this church you met on dating apps. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But as you went through there, was every profile accurate, or was it like you see the person in real life and you're like, woo, what happened? 50 years? Did you grow older? Did you lose hair? You say you're 6'2", you're 5'4". What happened? People struggle with self-esteem, insecurity, acceptance, all these things. And you need to know deep down how much God loves you. You need to get your acceptance from God, that God accepts you, that God loves you. And then if you get that, it won't matter as much what other people feel about you. And you won't be tempted to exaggerate and tell those lies. These are just some random applications to this passage, I think, that we see in our lives here about lying. But can I ask you, and think about this for a second, what type of lies have you told this week? Pastor, I haven't lied one time. Well, you probably just did. have you told some little white lies? Have you told some half-truths? I think we need to realize that, hey, we Christians are guilty of this as well, but we need not be. Are you in the habit of telling lies? Is that your first response? That's a bad habit. You need to break it. And then lastly, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Truth with his neighbor.